Well, thank you so very much. I enjoyed hearing all those good things about what he learned, and so I'm glad to hear that. I had a good time with your pastor many years ago. We enjoyed ourselves. Exciting days. I was telling him today, I said, I'm just as excited today as I was back then when we were starting in the Carpenter's Hall. God is doing some marvelous things at our church. I'm very excited about it and praise God for it. And I thoroughly enjoyed all the time that I spent with your pastor, Brother Joel. What a blessing that was. We enjoyed each other. He always had a heart for God as a young man, and I could see that. And his wife, Jennifer, had the same heart for God. And so I was so glad that they started dating and fell in love and got married, and I had a hand in that, and so praise the Lord. Jennifer called up and said, I don't know about Joey. I said, no, he's a good guy. You can date him. And so they're together, so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Good to have Brother Rector here and his wife and daughter. Wonderful family, serving the Lord, doing a great job. Ephesians chapter 4, we read this last night, if you'll recall, and we talked about ministry. We talked about the what, the where, the why, the who of ministry. And I want to talk about ministry again. I want us all to be ministers. I want us all to be plugged in. I want us all to get a position, broom sweeper, vacuumer, chair arranger, pew straightener. It doesn't have to be a fancy title, but give yourself a title, but let's all find a place to serve. And that's what God's looking for. And not just serve in the church, which certainly we ought to, but serve around the church, serve in our community. Let's be a blessing to Christians. Let's be a blessing to people we come in contact with, people we work with. Ephesians chapter 4. If you found that, could we stand as we read that together? Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 8, and we're going to read down through verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but what he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in these next few minutes the Spirit of God would be our special guest. Please speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us a truth that be helpful to us. Lord, I thank you for this good pastor and his wife and his family. Lord, I pray that you'll bless these good people. Lord, I know as a pastor how hard it is to get people to come out on a Monday night. And I'm so glad these faithful folks have come. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless and enrich their lives. I pray that you'll speak to their hearts for their faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that we'll go from this place saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray this now, Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We talked about ministry and what the Bible is saying here. It's talking about the Lord when he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. And we talked about he took Abraham's bosom. He used one of the keys, unlocked it. He brought them. He's the firstborn of the resurrection. They followed with him. They were walking the streets of Jerusalem as evidence of the fact that those who died in faith are going to be in heaven. And then notice in verses 9 and 10, that's called a parenthetical passage. So you take the truth in the verse above it, and you take the truth in the verse after it, and you join those two together. And if you do that, it would read like this: wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Did my mic go off? Okay, can you hear me okay? Okay, that's good. And so he gave gifts unto men. Now, these are gifts he gave to the local church. And then he gave one gift. He said, here's apostles. He gave another gift, said, here's prophets. He gave other gifts and said, here's evangelists, here's pastors and teachers. Now, as we mentioned, apostles are those who have recorded the word of God. They are the ones who were eyewitnesses of the direct ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are ones who were chosen by God to be apostles. All of us could be disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we could not be apostles. So for anyone to claim to be a modern day apostle, they would have to have viewed the early ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ from the baptism of John through his death. So certainly they could not do that. And then prophets. Now, prophets were those who foretold what God had in mind, or those who forthtold what God had in mind. Keep in mind, they didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the book of Ephesians. So when they learned from the Word of God, it was a prophet or an apostle who would give the Word of God, but a prophet. And keep in mind, the apostles didn't write the Bible soon after the resurrection. They waited for many years after the resurrection in order to write the epistles. The last book of our Bible, the book of Revelation, was written 95 A.D., and Jesus passed away somewhere around 33 to 35, somewhere in there. And so another, 50, 60 years took place before the last book in our Bible was written. But that's where apostles came in, and that's where prophets come in. And they would say, well, Jesus said this, and we heard him. And then prophets would say this and that. And so, but those were ministries that are done away with now that we have the revealed Word of God. And then evangelists, and then pastors and teachers. And then in verse 11 it says, for the perfecting of the saints. And we talked last night, if our job was to make people perfect, we'd just quit right away, because we're not going to make anybody perfect. It's hard to make people perfect when you're not perfect yourself. And so it's hard to preach and help people to be perfect when you don't have a perfect pastor. All we have is a perfect Savior. That's all we have, a perfect Savior. So our job is not to make you perfect. Our job is to present a perfect Savior. But I mentioned last night that word perfect does not mean perfected, does not mean absence of sin. It does mean you got all your act together. It simply means you are maturing. You're maturing. Perfect means well-rounded. It means complete. It means you are a balanced Christian. And all of us certainly ought to be that, not just know one truth, but we ought to know the general truth of the Word of God. And being in a good Bible-believing church, you'll certainly get that. And then it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And we found out that our job as pastors, our work is to get you working. That's our job. Our work is to get you working. And so often we are prone to do it all ourselves. You know, we'll set up the chairs. We'll put out the songbooks. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll make all the visits. We'll do all the gifts. We'll make all the visits and door knocking and soul winning, all that. But that's not our job. Our job is to do that because we're a Christian, but our job is to equip you to do that because you're a Christian. So our work is to get you working. And so sometimes you say, well, I'm thinking about working in the church. The pastor's always talking about doing something in the church. Well, there's a reason he's always talking about doing it, because that's his job. He cannot do his job but what he bothers you about getting busy for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is commissioned by God. He is called of God to say to the people, let's get busy for God. And so sometimes he even makes up jobs. Could you do this? It's not in the Bible, but the carpet still needs to be vacuumed. That's not a Bible job, but it is a job. And so he makes up jobs. And then teach a Sunday school class, work in the nursery, do children's church, do all these things. And so we talked about the what of ministry, the where of ministry, the why of ministry, the who of ministry. Now, tonight I want to talk on this subject, getting plugged into ministry, getting plugged into ministry. When I talk to our people about membership, and we're having new people, we had two families join Sunday, and I'll say, now, every Christian needs a church. Every Christian needs a church. Just like every baby needs a home, every Christian needs a church. I said, but don't just get your name on the roll. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. See, you need to be a part of a church, but not just to fill a chair. Not just to fill a pew. Not just to, so we could count another person. Everyone ought to get plugged in to ministry. You see, and that's what we need. But quite frankly, in many churches, we have free cells just sort of going around. You know, if you have a part of your body that's not attached to other parts of your body and it serves no function, that's something they call a tumor. And they want to cut that thing out. And, or if you have a part of your body that doesn't serve a purpose, but it attaches itself to another part of your body and it starts draining the life out of the rest of your body, that also is called a tumor, and that's called a malignant tumor. That's the tumor. And by the way, churches get that sometimes. And somebody comes and they're sucking the life out of the church. And sometimes a wise pastor has to get out the surgical knife and cut off a bad piece of the tumor and say, I'm sorry, but you can't do that here. But what happens is so many times as Christians, we're like benign tumors. We're just all to ourselves. We're floating in the body. Say, well, I'm a part of this church. Well, you're a part of the church because you're here. But see, we got to be plugged into the rest of what's going on. And that's what God wants us to do as believers. He wants us to get plugged in to what the rest of God is doing. Now, Brother Joel and Sister Jennifer, when they were just teenagers, that's what they did. They got plugged in, and they started serving God, and they started being used of God. And that's what our teenagers do now. Our teenagers help sing in the choir, and our teenagers help in children's church, and they help in Little Bear Bible Club on Sunday night. They help in Patch and Pee Wee Club on Wednesday night, and they're involved in soul winning on Wednesday afternoon and soul winning on Thursday evening, and then they're involved on bus routes on Saturday and bus routes on Sunday morning, and so they're getting plugged in. So how young can you get plugged in? Well, if you're a Christian, start getting plugged in. I noticed when we were singing Victory in Jesus, we had a young little boy. He got plugged into singing. He was singing out Victory in Jesus. I like that. See, don't wait till you get 18 to start trying to figure out how to get plugged in a church. If you come to church, get plugged in. Just learn to get plugged in and serve God with your life. Count to serve God with your life. I didn't attend church until I was about 8 years of age. I got saved when I was 9. I knew songs. I heard Bible verses. But when I was 9 years old, for the very first time, I heard that you had to be born again. You had to be saved. You had to have Jesus in your heart. And I thought that Jesus was in my heart because I went to church, because I sang songs, because I knew Bible verses. But then I found out that you had to personally invite Jesus Christ in your life. I had not done that. I didn't know how to do that. So I asked my father, how do I do that? And he said, well, you ask the pastor. So that next Sunday morning, I asked the pastor. I walked down the aisle, trusted Christ as my Savior, but I was so scared between that Wednesday night and that Sunday morning that I would die in my sin and go to hell forever. But when I got saved, I was glad I got saved. Now, I guess that must not be every Christian's experience, but when I got saved, I was glad about it. I mean, whatever God wanted me to do, that's what I wanted to do. I was only 9 years old, but I had sense enough to want to get saved, and when I got saved, I was happy about it. And anything I could do for Jesus, I wanted to do for Jesus. My pastor said, well, Mike, now that you got saved, you need to get baptized. Okay, let's do it. I mean, Jesus said get baptized. I'm ready to get baptized. Years ago, I remember we had a young man who was probably about 23, 24, and on a Sunday night, he walked down the aisle and he trusted Christ as his Savior. It was on Sunday morning. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and one of my assistant pastors talked to him about baptism, but he didn't want to get baptized. I said, okay. So I said, well, I'll talk to him too. So I said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, music playing. So I go down and I talk to the young man. I said, I hear you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He said, yes, I did. I got saved this morning. I said, wonderful. I said, now, did the pastor talk to you about getting baptized? He said, he did, but I don't want to do that. I said, oh, okay. I said, but let me just read your verse, okay? And so I read a verse in Acts chapter 2 where it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I said, did you receive the word of God? He said, yeah, I got saved. I told you. I said, but you don't want to get baptized. And he said, no, I don't want to get baptized. I said, okay, I'm just trying to figure this out. So in other words, you did trust Christ as your Savior. He said, yes. I said, but you're not happy about it. He said, well, no, I'm happy about it. I got saved. I said, well, no, you can't be happy about it. He said, no, I am. Well, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I'm just thinking if you were happy about it, you would have got baptized. I said, I'm glad you got saved, but apparently you're not very happy about it. He said, I am happy about it, and I'm getting baptized. I said, well, I was just curious. You know, I'm just asking. In other words, I think there's a lot of Christians that are glad to be saved, but they must not be as happy as I was as a 9-year-old boy, because it seems like it's sometimes a pastor is almost like twisting arms to get someone to serve in the nursery, almost twisting arms to get someone to sing a special, almost like twisting arms to get someone to help vacuum a floor. I'm saying, folks, that ought not so to be. Amen? Amen. No, that was weak. Amen? Amen? That's better. Okay. I mean, even the pastor has to do all the amen, okay? We got two pastors here, and they're good at amen and praise the Lord. So it ought not so to be. I mean, if you got happy about being saved, you're not going to hell. Amen. You're going to heaven. Amen. Our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to walk streets of gold. Amen. We're going to live in a mansion. We're going to see the face of our Savior every day throughout eternity, and we deserve to burn in hell forever throughout eternity. I'm happy I got saved. Amen. Boy, if Jesus wanted me to get baptized in a puddle of mud, I would have got baptized in a puddle of mud. It didn't matter to me. Whatever Jesus said do, I want to do. Now, I can't say that I've always done everything Christ wanted me to do, but I can say I want to do everything Christ wants me to do. And we certainly need to get plugged in. And so let me give you simple three truths about getting plugged into ministry. The first one is you got to get close enough to get plugged in. You got to get close enough to get plugged in. Close enough to the church. Close enough to the church. Let me just illustrate it this way. Sometimes a person say, well, Pastor, how come you never call on me to pray? Well, because you're only here on Sunday morning. But you see, I call on people to pray sometimes on Sunday night and sometimes on Wednesday night and sometimes on special meetings and sometimes on this. But you only give me one opportunity. So in other words, if I wanted to use you, I would have to have how far do you live away from the church? Oh, I live 10 miles. I'd have to have an extension cord for 10 miles to plug you in. But you know, when you come to church all the time, it's real easy to get plugged in. You got to get close enough to get plugged in. You got to come to church. You see, you have a short extension cord, and so you got to show up at church in order to get plugged in. You can't get plugged in. Say, well, Pastor, I'll be praying. I'm with you in spirit. I heard one pastor say, I don't want no spooks around here. Stay, keep your spirit with your body. And don't bring your spirit around here. You know, I hate to have somebody floating through the area. Go home! But we got to get plugged in, and that's what we want to do. We want to let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. We want to get plugged in. You got to get under the preaching. You got to get under the teaching. You got to get under the singing. I tell you what, you might enjoy watching football, but it's not going to do much for your spiritual side. That was weak, because I know y'all are playing this Sunday. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of good things about sports and this and that, but there's only one thing that's going to set our soul on fire, and that's being in God's house, hearing God's word preached, hearing the Lord Jesus Christ exalted, hearing the teaching of God's word, the singing of God's praises, the fellowship of God's people. We ought to get plugged in. You got to get close enough to get plugged in. Now, the Bible commands us to attend church. The Bible says, and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And here I love this phrase, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ's return, the more we think things are falling apart and that Jesus Christ might be coming back pretty soon, the more we ought to be at church. That's interesting. It seems like churches are having church less and less. That's right. Instead of more and more. Oh, about 4 years ago, we had a young man come to our church on a Sunday night, and I shook his hand, and he said, I said, well, sure glad. He said, how'd you find your church? He said, Pastor, he said, I'm just visiting this area. I'm in this area, but I visited 6 different churches and none of them were having Sunday night service. This is the only church I found that has a Sunday night service. I said, well, come by anytime. We'll have it. Sometimes in our area, churches will say their summer schedule. I want to put sometime on our sign, summer schedule, same old, same old. You know, it's just the same. And we're just serving God. We're just keep on going. You know, we're not having less church. We're having more church. We will have men's conferences, ladies' conferences. We want to have men's prayer breakfast. We want to have some ladies' things. We want to get more because the worse this world gets, the more we better get together. God's people better get together. Boy, it used to be when you sent your children off to school, that school system reinforced what that mom and dad believed and what that church believed. But those days have long gone. Amen. They're long gone. I mean, when I was in school, you won't believe it, but when I was in school, they had devotions over the intercom every day, every morning. When I was in fourth grade, different boys would take different turns standing up and giving a devotion in public school. In fact, our public schools were more Christian than most Christian schools are today. And that was when I was a child. But those days are not here anymore. Those days are not there. Oh, you can carry most anything. You carry a Bible, you'll get attention. I'm just saying, we ought to band together as God's people. We got to get plugged in. The Bible commands us to go to church. But beyond sheer obedience, there ought to be a love for the church. I ought to go to church because I want to be an obedient Christian, but I want to go for more than just obedience. I want to go to church because I love church. I love Jesus. I like what it says in Psalms 121, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was happy. I was glad. I was excited. I was looking forward to it. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. The Bible says in Psalms 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David had a love for the church. He had a love for that tabernacle. He had a love for that temple. He wanted to build that temple. He wanted to see that house of God. He wanted to dwell there the rest of his life. He just wanted to walk around it. He wanted to be in God's presence. And I believe people who love Jesus still want that today. Boy, you get a good dose of salvation, you're going to want to spend some time in church. You're going to want to be around God's house. So first of all, you got to get close enough to get plugged in. Let's don't have the pastor have 10-mile extension cords to plug you in. Bring your own cord and plug into church. Plug into the singing. Plug into the teaching. Every once in a while, just nod your head and shout amen. I mean, just scare the pastor. And I mean, every once in a while, just pick up a broom and help, or pick up a piece of paper, move a chair. Just figure out some way to be a servant. Let's just plug in and let's serve God together. And the second thing, you not only have to get close enough to get plugged into ministry, you got to care enough. Got to care enough. First of all, we got to care enough for Christ. John chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus was speaking and he said to them the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love them. He said, love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. You know the story. After the resurrection, Jesus was on shore, disciples out fishing, and he's cooking some fish there on the shore. And he says, Do you have any meat? Children, do you have any meat? Of course, they haven't caught anything. But John sort of elbows Peter and says, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Oh, Peter, he wraps some clothes on, you know, doesn't wait for the ship to go back to the shore. He just jumps overboard, starts swimming. He gets there all sopping wet, but there's Jesus. He wants to be around Jesus. Wasn't always like that. You recall just 3 days earlier, he didn't want to be around Jesus. He denied him 3 times. But here's Jesus. It's after the resurrection. I don't know if it's 3 days after. I don't know. Jesus showed himself during that third day to the 40th day, to the day of Pentecost. And it seems like he showed himself many different times, the Bible tells us there. So I don't know when it happened, but I know he wanted to be around Jesus, because every time Jesus came back after the resurrection, it could have been the very last opportunity to be with the Savior. And then finally everyone is fed. They bring some fish. Jesus has fish. They have a meal together. And Jesus looks and says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than these? He says, yea, Lord, I love thee. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Each time he'd say, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And the Bible says that Peter was grieved because he asked 3 times. Now, you can imagine what Peter's thinking. He knows I betrayed him. He knows I turned my back on him. He knows I was cursing just a few days ago and denying him. And now he's asking me 3 times. He must not feel I love him. And here's what he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. I wonder if Jesus, knowing all things, know whether or not we love him. He knows all things. He knows if I love him. He knows if your pastor loves him. He knows if you love him. You know, sometimes we don't get plugged in because we just don't love enough. We just don't love enough. You know, my prayer is that all of us would just learn in 2014 to love more. Amen. This world needs the love of Christ. Amen. And you and I are the representatives of Christ on earth. We are his ambassadors. We just need to learn to love more. Be kinder, be sweeter. Everybody's going through a tough time. Everybody's hurting. Everybody has a reason they're hurting. But let's just love more. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, and even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We got to care enough to plug in. We got to care enough, first of all, for Christ. But secondly, we got to care enough for others. Care enough for others. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another. We talked about that serving each other with a humble heart. And that's what ministry is. Serving one another with a humble heart in the name of or for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's doing what we do for Christ with a humble spirit. And we talked about serving other people. And that's what God wants us to do. And we've got to care enough for Christ. Secondly, we've got to care enough for each other. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm going to take this out. Sometimes you say, well, Pastor, I shook hands with everybody. You know, it's interesting that greeting time is supposed to be a time we greet people. Sometimes greeting time is just extra time. In other words, you need to go around greeting people. Well, why do you do that? Because you're a family. See, every time church meets together, it's a family reunion. We are a spiritual family. So every time we meet together is a family reunion. Could you imagine going to a family reunion and just sitting in a corner and not shaking hands with your uncle, not letting Aunt Sally give you a big sloppy kiss on the cheek? I mean, can you imagine? And you don't get the hugs. You don't say hi to your cousins. You don't say hi to your aunt, your uncle. You don't say hi to your grandma, your grandpa. You just sit there in a corner and keep to yourself. Everybody think, well, what's this problem? What's wrong with the boy? That's what sometimes Christians do at church. We forget we're a family. These are my brothers and my sisters. These are my extended family. These are my children. Now, I'm not a member of Open Door Baptist Church, but see, I believe a church is a spiritual family, but I also believe in the broader sense we are spiritual family because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I've been on mission fields just like your pastor has and others have, and I've seen Christian brethren in Africa. And I didn't go to their church. They've never been to my church, but we had fellowship because we had the same Savior. I've been in South Africa and South America, and I've been in Asia, and I've been in India, and I've been to different countries of the world, Canada, that's a foreign country, and Mexico and those places. And I've talked to people, and I've found people, if they love Jesus, we're in the same family. And we have fellowship. But when you come to the same church, that's a spiritual family. And you ought to have fellowship in that family. And you ought to welcome everyone to the family. And everyone who gets saved, that's like a new birth. You ought to be happy about that, rejoicing about that. I've often said that a church ought to be a spiritual hospital. But I've also said that I want our church to be a spiritual maternity ward. Because I've been to a hospital, and there's some sections of the hospital where the nurses aren't real happy because people around them are very seriously ill. But then you go to the maternity ward, and they're saying, we got four on this shift. And someone else will say, well, we'll beat you. We're shooting for five on this shift. They're looking for new babies to be born on their shift. They're excited about new life. Well, that's the way a church ought to be. Ought to be excited about new life, new people getting saved, new people coming to church, new people, and get excited about that. Well, how do you get it? Well, you go up and shake their hand. You welcome them to the house of God. You try to be friendly. We got to care enough. We got to love enough. We got to love, first of all, our Savior enough, and then we got to love people enough. We've got to get close enough to get plugged in. We've got to care enough to get plugged in. And here's the last thing I want to say. We've got to be committed enough to be plugged in. Committed enough. You see, for instance, this piano right over here, it's plugged in. But you know, you couldn't really operate it very well if someone plugged it in and then unplugged it and then plugged it in and unplugged it and plugged it in and unplugged it. You'll say, hey, son, plug it in, leave it alone. But see, that's what happens to Christians sometimes. They get plugged in, then they're unplugged, and then they're plugged in, and then they're unplugged. They're hot for Jesus, then they're cold as can be. They're serving God, and then they can't serve God, and then they're too busy. Sometimes they're not busy, and they're serving God, and sometimes they're too busy to serve God. It's just like you got to be committed. You got to stay plugged in. Committed. What's that mean? Does that mean I'm committed? I love everything in church. If you love everything in church, you don't know everything in church. Yeah. If someone says, Pastor, I got a problem with something in church, I say, well, I got 10. I don't need your problem. I got 10 of them already. I know more things wrong about my church than anybody in my church because as the pastor, you know everything going on. But surprisingly enough, just because a pastor knows a problem, he has no magic wand just to get rid of it and solve it and do it. Pastor, we need more workers in the nursery. Oh, that's good. I'll just go up and snap my fingers and whoof. All the nurseries, all the workers will flood to the nursery, and that will solve that problem. Sometimes it's a little more complicated than that, especially when you're working with people.
people. See, if the problem was with the chairs, we could get rid of them. We could move them any way we wanted to, and they wouldn't even say a word. But see, we work with people, and we can't tell people what to do, and we can't just force people to do what they ought to do. Our job is to tell people what ought to be, and then we have to let the Holy Spirit of God do His work. Because unless the Holy Spirit of God does His work, it never gets done. We're not looking for people just to conform. We're looking for people to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God and be what God wants them to be. So you see, we have to be committed. We have to be plugged in, and we have to stay plugged in. And sometimes we'll come and we'll say, man, I just love the church. It was so wonderful. The singing was good. The preaching was good. The nursery went well. The Sunday school class was so well. And then the next Sunday we'll go and we'll say, well, it was pretty good. Oh, what do you mean just pretty good? Well, I don't know. Our singing was just a little flat. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the pastor was leading tonight. I don't know why it was a little flat, but it was a little flat. I don't know why it was like that. I'm kidding him. And or the Sunday school lesson. I don't know. It was a great truth. I just didn't speak to my heart. But listen, the thing is, every time we come to church, we're not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Every time we come to church, it's not the best sermon the pastor ever preached. Every time you come to church, it's not the best sermon or lesson that your teacher ever taught. Every time you come to church, it's not but if you're committed, you'll come when it's great, you'll come when it's not so great, you'll come when it's hot, you'll come when it's cold, you'll come when it's dry, you'll come when it's wet, you'll come when it speaks to your heart, you'll come when it doesn't speak to your heart. I'm telling you, everything in life has an ebb and a flow, and there's going to be good times and tough times and rough times and sweet times, and it's all mixed together, and sometimes God's blessing and the thing's growing, and sometimes it's growing backwards. I don't know how it happens that way, but sometimes it does that way. And so it's going all different ways. Sometimes I've worked real hard and the church has gone backwards. Sometimes I work real hard. Are you changing that? Don't do that. Don't do that. I'll pull a Dr. Hiles on it. Don't touch that dial. Okay. Because that'll mess up my voice. I'm going to speak louder. So turn it up just a little bit, okay? Thank you very much. I'm just saying, you'll do different things, and sometimes you'll work hard, nothing happens. Sometimes you pull back and you don't work quite as hard, and it's like everybody starts coming. It's like there's no rhyme and there's no reason to it. All we're called upon to do is to be faithful. Be committed. Be committed. Sometimes you'll sing a special and everybody come up and say, oh, that was such a blessing. Sometimes you'll sing a special and not one person comes up and says anything. Sometimes you'll teach a lesson and someone will come up and say, boy, that spoke to my heart. Sometimes you'll teach a lesson and nobody will say anything. Sometimes you'll work in the nursery and ladies will come by and say, thank you so much for working in the nursery. Thank you so much for taking care of my child. And then other times you'll work in the nursery and no one will say anything. Or someone will say, my child's wet. It just happened. You know, I just changed it. My child's wet. There's crumbs in the floor. Okay, thank you. I'm just saying, there's going to be times people pat you on the back, and there's going to be times people kick you in the britches. I mean, there's just going to be times where everything goes well and times where it doesn't go well. But you got to stay committed. You got to stay committed. You got to stay committed. You will never raise a family unless you're committed to them. You'll never work in ministry unless you're committed to it. You'll never be used of God unless you're committed. You're committed. You're committed. You're committed. My our youngest son is 26 years of age, and he's been wanting to get on the police force, and something about having 4-year Bible education hasn't impressed anyone on the police force. They love him, but his educational requirements is not sufficient. So recently he joined the Oregon National Guard because he found out that a lot of times if you're in the military and you're trained as the MP in military, then you might be able to get your foot in the door in civilian police work. And so he just had finished his boot camp, and then he is in his AIT, which is specialized training for military police. But he got to come home for Christmas break because of the way it fell, and none of the instructors want to stay there, so they let all the people go so the instructors can go home for Christmas. And he came home after boot camp, and he had all these stories about boot camp. Those of you who have been in the military understand some of those stories about boot camp, about how they have you do push-ups and push-ups, and they never tell you how many push-ups. They just say push-ups, and you keep doing them until you can't do any more ups. You can't push anymore. And they try their best to beat you down, beat you down, beat you down. Why? They're trying to figure out who's committed. They're trying to figure out who's committed. You see, because even in a National Guard unit, those men have the potential of defending our country. And they don't want someone being in a group of soldiers going toward the enemy that's not committed. Because when one bullet starts flying, they'd be going in the other direction. And the reason why they try to wear you down physically, wear you down mentally, yell in your face till you think you're going crazy, is they're trying to see who is not committed. And the first week, they lost several of the recruits because they found out they weren't that committed. And then later into it, they'll lose some occasionally because people will get to the end of their commitment level. But having finished boot camp successfully, they look at some raw recruits and for the first time, we'll call them soldiers. For the first time, they'll call them soldiers. They'll call them everything but soldiers, and I can't repeat what they tell them. And they'll call them every name in the book while they're in boot camp, but once they complete their training, they are now called soldiers. Soldiers. Now you and I are Christians and we're in God's army, and I don't want any soldier in the U.S. Army more committed to the U.S. Army than I am to the Lord Jesus Christ's army, because I'm in the army of the Lord. Let's be committed. There's going to be good times. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be times where you think the sermon was just for you. You're going to think that someone doesn't appreciate you, but you've got to stay faithful. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And then we have to be committed to Christ and to others. Matthew 25, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch if ye had done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, you just got to keep on going. Sometimes you're going to say, man, I love the preacher. And then other times you're going to say, I think the preacher was preaching against me. You're going to love the preacher's wife. And then you're going to say, she didn't hug my child. Just roll with the punches. There's ups and downs in life. There's ups and downs in ministry. But you be someone who's faithful. Years ago, our church was in the Carpenter's Hall for 9 years, rented facilities. We set up, we didn't have a place like this where everything could remain seated. We had to set up chairs, set down chairs, set up church, set down church. Every Sunday, every midweek service, we had to set up, set down for 9 years. Someone said to me, said, Pastor, I bet you wish you had your own building. You know you're going to grow a lot faster once you get your own building. And I always say this. I said, we'll have a lot more people come when we have our own building. But the people who come to this place are people you can build on. They're people you can build on because they're committed. They're committed. And by God's grace, you be that kind of Christian. You be committed and let God use you in ministry. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to have a word of prayer and extend an invitation. Oh, my prayer is that you'll stay close enough to be plugged in. You'll care enough to be plugged in and you'll be committed enough to stay plugged in. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. I don't know the needs of all these dear people. But Lord, I know that our human nature affects all of us. We have our own ups and downs, ins and outs. But Lord, with all of our heart, we want to say we love you. And we want to be committed. And we want to serve others. We want our life to count for Christ. And Lord, I believe that's the prayer of everyone that's here tonight. I don't believe that a single person came to this service, but what that was the thought of their heart. They love you, Lord. They want their life to count for you. That's why they're here tonight. But Lord, I pray that you'll take this message and let it help us as believers. Help us to stay close enough to stay plugged in all the time. Just stay close to the church. Help us to care enough for you and for others to minister to the best of our ability. And Father, help us to be committed when sometimes the devil whispers in our ear that nobody loves us and we're not appreciated, that we'll just stick it out.